Welcome everyone to today's webinar. I am so sorry about what happened last week. I came back from overseas and I didn't have any internet. I didn't have any emails. It was dreadful. And I actually thought I'd organized someone else to do the call for me. But obviously, miscommunication, whatever, it's totally my fault. And I totally apologize to everybody. Now, we've got some exciting stuff to talk about today and lots of new developments going on. So I've actually got Kathy and Larry on the line. First of all, Kathy, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hey, hey. Good to hear you again.
Ah, likewise.
And Larry, are you there?
Absolutely. How's everybody doing?
Doing very, very well. Okay, now what are we actually going to do here is I'm actually, as you can see, my screen is not particularly exciting at the moment. I'm actually going to pass my screen over to Kathy, and because she's actually all got the presentation and everything else over there. So I think, Kathy, you should have it very, very soon if you've got the controlling seat.
I think I do. Let's see what happens. Can you see my screen?
I certainly can. You're all on.
Okay, wonderful. Well, you know, before we start on this, I just want to mention that our wonderful Jessica has been given a job offer by Citibank that I couldn't match because we're not a multi-billion dollar company, and they wanted her back. So they are offering to pay for her training to get her Series 7 license to work in investments, and so she actually gets paid to go to school, and that's very exciting for her. So she's still helping us, and when we, you know, we just walk down the street and can deliver information or get information. So she, you know, everything's very amicable. She still very much wants to help people open up bank accounts when needed. And, you know, she's there for us, but I can tell you getting a Series 7 license is very difficult, and she will be busy for the next few months. But what I do want to say is that, you know, we still have plenty of people here to help you when you, you know, when you have questions and when you want to come over to the U.S. and plan a tour. We have Kathy Copeland-Tisa, who's been an investment counselor with Real Wealth Network for 6 years or so. She knows every market inside and out. She's invested in most of them, and she is definitely available to answer your questions. We'll be posting more and more tours on our website so that you can join a public tour, or we can set up a private tour for you. So we will do our best to take Jessica's place, although as I put in the email, she's really pretty irreplaceable. So, you know, we're going to do our best.
Very good. So what's the procedure? Do you just ring up the same? They have their strategy meeting, etc., before you come over. How do you want that stuff to run?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people who haven't yet watched the videos and maybe haven't gone to the boot camp and want to reach out to us, and it's absolutely fine to come, you know, come browse our website and listen to the webinars and see what we're doing. But until you're really ready to come over and, you know, you've already educated yourself and you've gone through the materials, there isn't much more we can do for you than is contained in all the material that, you know, that Cashflow USA provides. So I just want to say that a lot of people reach out and say, I want to get started, and we say, well, listen to the tapes and books and get, you know, get yourself set up, and then we'll, you know, we can jump in at that point.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously the numbers and everything else and the emails are all there on the website for everybody to make that connection when you're ready.
Yeah, when you're ready. You know, if you're not planning on coming for 3 to 4 months, then you know, you may not want a strategy session yet because the market changes so quickly here. And what you may have thought you wanted may be very different 3 months from now. So we don't want to really get you all set up till you're ready to come out, or you know what you want and you've got yourself educated on the Aussie side of things.
Okay. So before we launch into any of the stuff that you're going to present here, do you want to make a little bit of a comment about the market generally and what's happening?
I'm sorry, it broke up a little bit. The market what?
The market generally, and what's happening over there? Like, how do you see things going?
Well, I think, Larry could definitely jump in on this too. I can tell you that in parts of the country, there has been the hugest bounce back, largest gains that we've seen in a shortest amount of time in history. And, I think Larry and I and you, Dipna, we saw this coming because there was such an incredible, just the most difficult housing crisis that this country has ever gone through. And it so overcorrected, and there was so much fear that the prices just continued to decline far below what the true value was. And we knew that once the fear element was removed, people would see that opportunity, and they did with a bang. And the last 6 months have been absolutely insane across the country, except for a few markets that nobody really wants to live in. But but other than that, I just talked to our guy in Houston. I know a lot of Aussies really like Sean in Houston, and he's been fantastic. I just looked at the PowerPoint we did with him 6 months ago. Just 6 months ago, he came out to talk to our California investors, and the houses that he had on that PowerPoint, he was laughing. He said, "Oh, we can't get anything near that right now." He said it's gone up 15% in the last 6 months in Houston. And that doesn't happen in Texas.
So everything we've been talking about must have been true then, huh?
So, I mean, Larry, what anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, it's really going gangbusters everywhere. I mean, right here in Florida, the local market, talking about things that you'd buy for your home to live in, of course. But those homes are going on the market and getting multiple offers within a very short amount of time. But the investment products, obviously, there's a lot of competition out there. There's a lot of people looking to buy up investment properties. And just like you said, Kathy, pretty much anywhere you go, identify those best markets, but those price points have definitely went up over the last 6 months and a year.
So, a lot of people jumped in before that, and good for them. A lot of people still don't think that you've totally missed the boat, though. And I want to make that clear that that was my first question to Sean in Houston is, well, is it too late? I mean, a 15% increase in value in Houston is just unheard of. And is that it? And he said, not really, because again, the affordability is so high that there's room for prices to continue to go up. There you're still buying these properties far below replacement cost, and we have a shortage of housing in a lot of these markets now because building came to such a complete stop. So builders will have to come back. They are, and they're going to have to pay what it costs to build a house, which is at least $100 a square foot, and we can still buy for a lot less than that. So there, you haven't missed it. There's still the opportunity.
I
And
actually
in
have
the
a great slide, Kat.
Go on.
Kathy, I sent over a great slide on that, and I know we can't get it on here tonight, but we can probably put it on the website for tomorrow. But that slide illustrates what you just talked about, that window of opportunity. It's obviously showing signs of closing, but there's still a big gap, so the opportunities are still very huge there. And I'm sure we can get that slide on the website for you.
Yeah, I might be able to find it after this presentation. I think I have it from when you sent it.
The other
So
thing is that in the meantime, of course, there's still cash flow.
there is still cash flow, absolutely. And in fact, again, that was the question I asked Sean. Well, are rents going up along with housing prices? And he said yes. So he said, even though people are paying more than they would have last year, the rents are going up. So, it's kind of a wash. The cash flow is still the same. So that's good news. Yes.
Good. Okay, so what have you got for us today, Kathy?
Well, as I've said on past webinars, we have moved dramatically into a seller's market rather than a buyer's market. In a buyer's market, the buyer has the power. There you can negotiate. You have a lot of inventory to choose from, and that was a market we enjoyed for, the past 6 years or so. Now in a seller's market, it's flipped to where the buyer's having trouble because there's not enough inventory out there. The seller has the power to negotiate, not the buyer. I had somebody just send me an email saying, if I buy 10 properties, can I get a 20% discount? And I said, not that I know of. I mean, you've got hedge funds coming in buying a lot more than 10 properties, and they're not getting discounts. They're paying over asking price. So, you know, that it's the seller who's in charge and in power. And so it's really wonderful if you're in a position to sell. Now, you know, not if you don't own property in the U.S. or you don't want to sell your property in the U.S., then that doesn't really help you out, does it? But that's why we're finding, that's why, you know, we always want to be where the deal is. And the deal right now is providing inventory that people can purchase. So that's what we're going to talk about today. You know that we've done some really successful projects in Portland where investors got over 20% IRR on that during the worst part of the recession. And things were, it was difficult, but we still got a wonderful return. Well, that same developer, Fred, brought us the Dublin land deal that has now got offers for millions over our highest projections. So that's going really well. He also, of course, brought us the Florida project, which he said in his 40 years of being a developer and making millions, I mean, he has a private jet, he has a yacht, he has a house in Vail, a house in Carmel. He's done very well, and he was retired. But when he saw the deals coming out of this recession, he came out of retirement to make a little more money. Maybe he'll buy an island. I don't know. But he said in the last 40 years that the two deals that are the best he's ever seen with the highest amount of profit are the Tampa and this Tahoe one, because he bought them at such unbelievable prices. So it's the same one, same developer, Fred. And this project, well, I'll just go through the slides here. I didn't bring him here tonight because we have a recorded webinar with him and a recorded video. So if you want to hear what he has to say, we can give you that link. I just want to go over it quickly and, you know, kind of answer your questions. So again, you've seen this before. It's the opportunity is that, sure, everybody's fighting for these single family homes because that's something most people understand. First time home buyers are trying to get in, investors like us are trying to get them, hedge funds are trying to get them, but not everybody knows how to develop property. And so, and the banks are taking back these developments that went under during the downturn because builders bought, you know, paid way more for the land than they would today. And, you know, it was just a different world back then, so they can't make it work based on the numbers that they, you know, that they started other projects on. So there's a lot of these deals in foreclosure, and the banks just still don't know what to do with them. So, and the hedge funds don't necessarily either. And so this, again, this $1 million to $10 million niche is something that we really don't have a lot of competition for, and that's why we're getting such phenomenal deals. Let's see. So, again, I already talked about the seller's market, but a syndication, that's simply a group investment. Investors come together to be able to afford something that they couldn't do on their own. It falls under securities law here in the U.S., very strict. Reg D 506. So it is. It's a lot easier. This is the good news for you. It's a lot easier for a non-U.S. citizen to qualify for these kind of projects, because in the U.S. you have to have $1 million net worth, and you have to earn $200,000 as an individual or $300,000 as a couple to even be involved. It's a very strange law, but it's meant to protect the investor, because the idea is, oh, they have so much extra money that they can, you know, if anything went wrong, it wouldn't matter. But the truth is, the profits are so enormous, it should be, you know, somebody who's trying to build wealth should be able to participate, but it's just not the way it works. So, but that's not the case for non-U.S. citizens, because the SEC doesn't regulate foreign investors. So you don't have to have any, there's no qualification for a foreign investor. So you're really lucky on that. In this case, a private placement memorandum is required. And that's just basically the offering that is written up by an attorney with every possible risk. We pay $60,000 for the attorney to produce this and look into every angle, anything that could possibly go wrong, and it's all put in there so that you have all the information that might scare the bejeebers out of you, but it's really packed full of information so you can make an educated decision. So there you go. So for the project, I'm sure most of you already know where Lake Tahoe is. You've been there, right, Divna?
I have.
So it's a beautiful place in the summer. It's a wonderful place in the winter. It's best known for skiing, you know, some of the best skiing in the world. But it's also really wonderful in the summer for many, many reasons, hiking and mountain biking and, you know, beautiful lake. And so you see there's San Francisco. It's a 4-hour drive. Hot Springs?
And
yes, you're right.
Hot Springs, yeah.
All right, you went there for, I remember now, gosh, I love that. Okay, I haven't been to those hot springs for a while. But you see, it's only 4 hours. But one of the things, you see this line here, there is a, right here is the border between California and Nevada. And so California is a state that is a high, high income tax state. We're in debt. We take in far too many, we just take care of everybody and everything, and the state is very much in debt. You come over here to Nevada, and there's no state income tax. And so all these rich people that live here in the Silicon Valley and have made a ton of money in the high-tech world, where do you think they want to live? So many people, you cannot get a property here in this part of Nevada because it's so close to San Francisco in the Bay Area, and you can, if you say you live there for one day more than half a year, then you don't have to pay those California income taxes. And so trying to get a property in Nevada is very, very difficult. So that's just a little tip. So again, a little bit closer, you see there's the line, the county line, and the project is right there. Oh, I'll go back to this slide. This is Squaw Valley here. It's, you know, an Olympic place. That's my favorite place to ski. And then coming even closer, you can see state lines. This is where all the casinos are along here. So you get to gamble. And then Heavenly Valley is right in here, which is one of the best. Well, it was just bought by Vail. I think it's on a slide coming up. You see the location of this project is literally a 2-minute walk to one of the chairlifts at Heavenly Valley. So that's pretty cool. All right. And this is what it looks like. So it's not exactly in the shape that you would want. You know, if you didn't know what you were doing and you weren't a developer, you wouldn't want this project. It's scary. But if you're a developer and you know what to do with this, this is gold. So let's take a look and see what happened to this guy. It's a 49-unit condo development. That's the plan. It's on a little, you know, 0.69 acres. It's fully entitled, permitted, and partially constructed. So that's big money there to get the entitlements and the permits. It costs $2 million alone just to pay for the permits that they've got to get this far. Our plan is to complete it and sell all the 49 units. Guess what? Fred got this project. He tied it up for $2 million from B of A. And I tell you, I cannot to this day understand why an asset manager at B of A would sell this for $2 million. But they just thought it was a teardown. They just didn't know what to do with it. They thought someone would just pay for the land. The funny thing is the former developer paid $15 million for the land. So again, even if it was a teardown, why they gave it away for $2 million is I don't understand. But, you know, at this point, the banks are just trying to unload this stuff. So it will be 6 stories. It's only 4 now. It's located in the Tahoe Village Master Plan, which means It's one of those sort of upscale neighborhoods where they have little buses going around every 15 minutes, little vans to take you to pick you up and take you to the resort. Planned unit development. It's got the graded. It's already got this retaining wall was millions of dollars to put that in. It has the concrete, you know, structure and already has the basement for parking. The former owner, you may be wondering who screwed this one up, but Beringer Harvard Lake Tahoe LLC was basically a hedge fund. Didn't really have any business being in real estate, but they were. They did it at a time when everybody thought you could not fail. Back in, you know, the early 2000s, anything you did, you could screw up and still make money at. So that's what they were doing. And, you know, again, to pay 15, they were expecting these units to sell for $6 million. So that's how they were able to justify spending $15 million just on the land. But as soon as the market turned, they figured out pretty soon that no one was going to pay $6 million. And their business plan fell apart. So they had already at that point invested nearly, they say, $40 million. Fred's calculated what he sees in the project, and he calculated $37 million. But maybe some went to the managers to make it $40 million. But B of A is not too happy. But again, why they're accepting $2 million when they lost $40 million is beyond me, but that's not my problem. That's my that's a benefit, right?
Absolutely.
All right, so it's going to come with a community lounge, a spa with workout center, hot tub and swimming pool, underground parking and guest parking, outside pool, and again, that transportation to and from the lifts provided by the village HOA. Mm-hmm. Now, the property being fully entitled is, you know, that can take 10 years to get something entitled. So just that alone is worth far more than $2 million. Fred, in this area, there's only 49 units allowed to be built, and we have them. Fred, the minute he got the contract in place for $2 million, he got an offer for $6 million just for those entitlements alone, not even for the land. All the permits, again, have been issued. All fees with the exception of a street tax have been paid. The permits are good till next spring, and we've been told we can just extend those because this is a very, very high-end part of town, and they're really tired of looking at that building. So, obviously the planning department wants this thing to be finished. They're very much behind it. Again, so it'll be six floors. The average unit size is going to be 2,700 square feet. I don't know how to tell that to you in meters, but it's big.
Yeah.
Smallest unit will be 1,800, and the largest would be 5,700 square feet. It's the penthouse, four-bedroom, four-and-a-half-bath. It'll be fabulous. So the total construction to finish this thing will be $36 million, including what they thought. They set aside $1.8 million for the fourth floor because it's been sitting out, you know, in the winter snow for 4 years without the proper winter, you know, winterizing. But after they've had structural engineers and they've come in and said that it's fine. So there's $1.8 million still set aside in case that has to be replaced, but it doesn't look like it has to. There's $2.5 million set aside for contingency and $750 set aside for construction management, not Fred, but the actual construction management. $3 million for the land cost and pre-development, and $6 million for the construction loan interest, and $4,000 of marketing, which brings it to a grand total of $49 million to get this thing done. So here's Fred's chart. Again, he's come to us. He doesn't need to come to us. He's got lots of investors who want to do this. I have one of my friends said they do the whole thing. But he really loves working with us. So it's a $6 million raise through Real Wealth Network. Then we will get a construction loan for $43 million, which has already been agreed upon. So the total source of funds is that $49 million. And here's where all the money goes, like I said earlier. So coming on to the good stuff, you want to know, okay, that's the expenses. What is going to be the profit? So the difficulty in coming up with comps is that there's just nothing for sale and there's nothing new in the area. But the marketing specialists, and that consists of a whole team of brokers who have done their due diligence and so forth, they came up with a $638 price per square foot at the time that these would be ready to sell. Keep in mind that this is an extraordinary low comp because in North Star, which is this the closest ski resort that also has new condos, and they're not going to be as nice as these, and they don't have the lake views and so forth, but they're selling currently for $1,000 a square foot. Their first round completely sold out, and now they're selling units that have not been built yet, and there's a wait list, and that's at $1,000 a square foot. But because we're about 20 minutes south and there's really no comps in our area, they weren't comfortable using that, although I say it only to let you know that we think it is going to be much higher, but we're being conservative in the numbers. So using the conservative numbers, it would be an $85 million net revenue, and deducting those expenses that we mentioned earlier, the profit would be $30 million. So again, for Fred, who's done huge developments of thousands of homes, he said to get to this kind of profit margin would never happen on a 49-unit condo development. It would happen on a very, very large development where there was a lot more involved. So he just, it's just kind of mind-blowing. So again, he's coming to us and offering 15% for the capital that, you know, for capital that is raised. You get 15% annual return, plus you get 15% of that $30 million profit that our group does. So whatever your share of is of that group, we get 15% of that $30 million, which is higher than he would have to pay if he just went to like an institutional investor or a construction loan or something like that. He would pay less, but again, he enjoys working with us. He said the other day, you know, those guys have no heart. They're no fun to work with, and he's really, at this point, he doesn't really need the money. He's enjoying this whole process. So the way, again, it works always on his is as the first, you know, you complete the project, the first units that sell will go off to pay off the mortgage. The second goes out to pay the investor capital. Then anyone who's put their money in will get their money out, and after that, they'll get a check for their 15% compounded. And the fourth payout will be the profit distribution.
So what was the time frame on the first payout of the 15?
He's looking to actually market this fall. And he expects to, I can't tell you how interesting it's been on my end because we rarely sell local property. You know, we're all over the country. But we have, I don't know, 14,000 members now at Real Wealth Network, the minute I mention this, I already have people who want the final condos. They're wealthy people who want to get out of California, and this is, there's just nothing for sale. And Fred has said that he wants to sell these units at a discount because he's not looking to, you know, he wants to sell them quickly. So anyway, he wants to market them right away. We already have a line of people who want these final units, and so he expects to have them in contract, you know, just start selling them this fall. Of course, you can't close until the project's done, which he expects will be 2015.
Mm-hmm. 2015. So is that when the first 15% payment would come out, and then 15% of the profit after that?
You would get, yeah, the first would be the construction loan has to get paid off. Second would be the capital, the investor capital goes back. So I would say, you know, my guess is we're going to have all units pre-sold. But Fred doesn't want to gamble on that, and he doesn't want to make promises like that. So let's say the first half sell. Then, you know, whatever that amounts to in terms of sales dollars, will go, again, first to the construction loan, second to the investor's capital, third to the you get, you know, the 15% interest and then the profits at the end.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he's put in the offering documents that it would happen between 2015 and 2017.
Okay.
But I personally think it will be faster based on I was just on an interview yesterday and my host just asked me what I was up to and I talked about this and I got three emails within the first minute of people who wanted to buy one. So they're going to be in really high demand.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So there was concern of permanent damage on the fourth floor after a lot, at least he's had two companies go out to test it and they do not feel there was any damage. They're going to do a third one just to be sure. They were concerned there might be damage beneath it from ice and it just needs a winterizing and it will be fine. Again, a risk might be that construction loan. However, that's because it looks like to be a lot of leverage, but as the construction funds are being used, the value of the property actually increases quite a bit so that it would actually be a 50% leverage, not 90. Mm-hmm. And of course, the regular risks of construction, which could be defects, shortage of materials, natural disaster, anything like that. But again, while we can't predict that, many overages have already been added to, like I said, $2.5 million is set aside for any surprises.
Okay.
And, of course, you know, will the housing upturn reverse? Will we go into another recession? I mean, these are all risks that we need to consider in any investment, right? Mm. So I just can't. I mean, here's my perspective on it, and I'll just say mine. When we've got this thing tied up for $2 million, I don't see how you can lose on it. We're buying it at the absolute lowest possible purchase price. And if worst came to worst and something happened, we just had to sell it as is, there would still be a profit.
Yeah.
So, again, that's the way I see it. The key on anything like this is buying right and buying cheap. At $40 million into it, they couldn't make it work. But $2 million, it's a different story.
Well, that's your $30 million, isn't it? Or $38 million.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Right, exactly. So, you know, here's Fred and Scott. A lot of you already know who they are because we've been working with them for a while, but these guys are big players. You just can't drive around Walnut Creek without seeing something they've built, mostly residential. They're building some commercial in the Dublin area right now, but very, very savvy. Here's just a couple of examples. These are all projects near Walnut Creek. I think you've seen them before. So, again, eligibility, it's tough for Americans. It's a lot easier for non-U.S. because there are no requirements. Let's see. And then the protocol is simply people who have invested before get first priority. But this is a big raise, so I'm not worried about it. I think anybody who, you know, wants to be involved can get involved. I do think it will sell out fairly quickly, but right now, you know, there's plenty of room in it.
So when have you opened it up? Is it open now?
Yeah, we just opened it last week. We had over 1,000 Americans on our webinar. So it's, like I said, this is something that people want, and there's a ton of interest, and it's obviously a fantastic deal. So, yeah, so lots and lots of interest.
What's the minimum investment?
Minimum is $50,000, but we've always felt that if somebody has not invested with us and wants to do a half a unit, $25,000, that's okay. So you can get comfortable and not feel like you're putting everything out there.
Okay.
So, yeah, so there's how you do it.
And the process to make that happen?
You can just email here, info@realwealthnetwork.com, or I did send out a newsletter today, and there's a little link on there that takes you to the webpage. You can go check that out. There's a video with Fred. You can kind of see what he's like. He answers a lot of questions from the audience and stuff. So, but yeah, either way, you can just send an email to info@realwealthnetwork.com. That'll come to me or Maggie. Maggie's actually in South Africa right now having a nice little vacation. So she'll be back next week, but it'll come to me and we'll send you whatever information you need.
Okay. Very good. So, guys, yeah, that's where you need to go if you're interested in that. And I guess for super or non-super money, it's a, what are we talking, a 2 to 3 year project, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say 3 just to be safe, but it could be less.
Yeah. So you need to not need your money for that space of time. If it's income producing, as this is, interest on it would be tax deductible if you're borrowing it out of non-super money. Obviously, you can't borrow in superannuation to go and buy something like this. You'd have to have the money in the super fund itself. From a structure perspective, just make sure that you've spoken to one of the professionals back over here before you sign off on the dotted line.
And what's nice about it for a lot of people is, you know, you don't have to necessarily spend as much money on, you know, coming out here and doing the whole tour, and the return is expected to be well over 30% per year, and you get to save money by not traveling to all the different cities and so forth and coming to get the bank account and all that. So for a lot of people who just haven't been able to get over here, this works out really nicely.
Well, it's a good way to have a little bit of a play with it when you're not quite ready yet. Mm-hmm. And it's also, you don't have to worry about, you know, setting up your bank accounts and things like that, because presumably it could all come back over here directly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, you've got any benefit that may come out of a further drop in the exchange rate, which I still say the natural resting point for the Australian dollar is somewhere between 80 and 85 cents in the dollar. And I've been saying that for a long time now, so I'm being proved correct as we speak.
Oh, don't you love that?
Yeah, only time proves you correct, but eventually you get there.
Yeah. Well, I got this slides up for Larry.
Okay, let's have a look at it.
Can you see those?
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk us through it?
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah, I absolutely love this slide. If you look at it kind of to the left, you'll see right between 2005 and 2006, the housing affordability, that's the crash, basically. That's where it really went wrong. And the green bar basically shows you what the housing affordability is, basically the house price to the income ratio index. And you'll see very in the far right there, 2012, about halfway through, 2012 going into 2013, we are at the highest point of affordability. You look over the last year, it kind of zigzagged up and down a little bit, but for the most part, we're still at optimum height for affordability. Meanwhile, the gold bar representing house prices, you'll see they're down right there about 2011. That's where, in a perfect world, everybody would have invested at that point in time. And you'll see from 2011 to today, you can see a pretty good grade increase there, which is what we've been talking about, how sellers are kind of taking over because of that bar. But the span between the yellow and the gold, or the gold and the green, I should say, you'll see basically the green sitting at about 190 points, where the housing price is at about 125. So you got about 65 point spread there. That there represents the window of opportunity. So to our earlier conversation, yeah, the window of opportunity is still very large. In a perfect world, we would have got in a year ago, but we still have, you know, some huge affordability there. Mm. I just love that slide.
Says a lot.
Yeah, it does. It says a whole lot.
Yeah. Very good. Well, thanks for sharing there, Larry. Okay, well, I don't have any questions that have come through on the forum about the what we were speaking about here, or any other questions. So where are we now? We're at about 22. So Kathy or Larry, is there anything else you'd like to add to the group?
I don't think so. Send your questions over, and we're here to answer them.
What's this one? What's this cartoon?
That's just kind of for fun. I know you always like things for fun. Read it. It kind of speaks for itself. Dr. Bernanke, you know who he is. He's our chairman of the Federal Reserve. And as he says, if we feed the banks enough dollars, something good is bound to come out of the other end.
Assuming that's what you want.
Right, right.
Okay, guys. Well, thank you so much for being on today. And as I say, any questions, just shoot them straight through to Kathy and the team over there with respect to Lake Tahoe. And we'll be back again to talk to everybody in a month's time. And don't forget that we've got the next seminar is in November. I think the dates are for this year. Let me have a look at my phone here. Have you got the dates to hand there, Kathy?
I'm pretty sure it's
November.
Yeah, I think it's November, but I don't know which part.
Here we go. It is the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th of November. So they're the
dates. Wonderful.
When is your Thanksgiving thing on?
It might be then, but we'll just do a little Thanksgiving in Australia.
Hey, well, I've open invitation to come up to the farm. I've told you that.
All right. We'll cook a big turkey.
I don't think we get turkeys anywhere near like your turkeys, but I'm sure I can find one somewhere.
Wonderful.
Very good. Okay. Well, thank you guys. And we'll talk to everybody again very, very soon on the next webinar. If not, just shoot your questions through, jump on the websites, and we'll catch everybody again in a month. Bye for now.
Sounds great. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Kathy. Thanks, Larry.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.